You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, it's that time of year again. We'll get some tax time tips, the market on Inflation Watch, and Maya making a play for parts of the Premier Investments business. We'll have the details in a moment. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 24th of June, 2024. The Australian share market did fall today by 0.8%. We'll have the details with Zoran Krcevic from 8 Cap in a few moments. But first, it's tax time. So with the end of financial year just around the corner, I thought it'd be a good time to sit with the ATO Assistant Commissioner, Rob Thompson, to find out what the ATO is targeting and for some tax time tips.
So the ATO has outlined three focus areas this tax time. Can we go through them separately? Firstly, work-related expenses. Can you run us through it, especially for both people working in the office and increasingly working from home?
Yeah, so for working from home, there's two ways that you can calculate your deduction. There's the fixed rate method or there's the actual cost method. So last year, we made some changes to the fixed rate method where we increased the expenses included in the base. We upped the rate, but we also changed the record keeping requirements. And so this year, we just want to make sure that with the changes taking full effect, people are aware of the record keeping requirements for the fixed rate method. Now, this can be as easy as keeping a timesheet or a diary for the whole year of the hours you work from home and copies of your phone and your electricity bills just to show you've incurred a little bit of extra expense.
Your data also shows that 9 out of 10 rental property owners are getting their income tax returns wrong. What are they doing? What are the rules around deductions here? And what are some of the things that can be deducted that perhaps people don't know about?
So look, there is complexity in some of the rules when it comes to rental properties, and we're seeing some people just don't understand the rules. We're also seeing that people fail to keep the right records, and so they're making mistakes when it comes to things like not including all their income in the tax return or making the wrong deductions, including at the wrong time. So one thing we're specifically focused on this year is repairs and maintenance. And so we're just asking if people are spending money on their property, they don't instantly think that's a repair or maintenance and it's automatically deductible. It may be a capital works, which means it needs to be claimed over a period of time. So these are areas that we're focused on. We're also specifically focused on those people that might be choosing to try and inflate their deductions this year to minimise their tax bill.
Okay, so just because the new financial year starts on July the 1st, it doesn't necessarily mean people should lodge their return straight away, does it? Why?
No, that's right. So, you know, we're saying, you know, we know it's an Olympics year. We're saying you don't need to go for gold. You don't need to be first. You need to get it right. And so if people lodge on the 1st of July or in the first few weeks of July, they're twice as likely to have their tax returns stopped by the ATO and it potentially be incorrect. So what we're telling people is if you wait until the end of July, we will have pre-filled a lot of information into the return for you, including from your employer, your banks, and your private health fund. And this is available whether you lodge yourself or you lodge through a tax agent. And this can just make the whole process a lot smoother, and you don't need to worry about fixing up anything later on. One hot tip is just to wait till your income tax statement is shown as tax ready on MyTax and the other pre-fill information is ready.
Okay. They're the three key things the ATO is looking at. Can we talk about maybe superannuation? What do people know when it comes to super before end of financial year and in the new year?
So if people are looking to claim a deduction for personal superannuation contributions, they need to have informed or notified their superannuation fund in an approved form, and they need to have got an acknowledgement from their super fund. There's also other eligibility criteria that are available, and the ATO website steps out both those eligibility criteria, but how you need to go about informing your super fund that you're looking to make a personal super contribution deduction.
When you look at tax return time, I'm curious to know, what do you think is the one key tax claiming myth? Something I guess maybe people think they can claim, but they actually can't.
So one myth we see is around the $300 threshold for work-related expenses. So people kind of think, some people think this is like a myth that, you know, that it's a standard deduction that you don't need to explain, you know, how you've come up with the amount, but that's not true. You don't need to have receipts, but you do need to be able to explain how you've come up with the amount that you've included in your tax return. We also see this myth is similar for the $150 threshold for laundry expenses and the 5,000 kilometer limit for the cents per kilometer method under car expenses. For both of these as well, you don't need to have receipts, but you do need to be able to adequately explain and show how you've calculated the amount you've included in your tax return.
What are some of the more outrageous things you've seen people try to claim?
Look, most people try to claim the right thing, but we do see some interesting ones. We saw a person try and claim car expenses on six cars when they only owned one. We saw a lady who tried and claimed her high heels as our protective equipment. And we've also seen a laundry person that works in a laundry try and claim $5,000 worth of work-related expenses, including their $20,000 overseas holiday.
Can we talk about technology? AI, artificial intelligence, really is the buzzword at the moment. What kinds of technology are you using to match income with what's being reported and not? And how is AI being used?
So we use a range of technology and sophisticated data matching to identify when perhaps someone's tax return just doesn't look right based on the data we have. We get data from a range of different sources, including from banks and including from other government agencies, that helps us detect when perhaps someone hasn't included an amount in their return or perhaps a deduction looks too high. So one example of this is like on rental properties. So we get a lot of data. We get data from investment property loan data. We get mortgage insurance data. We get state title transactional data, as well as other data sources. And this combined allows us to identify when someone hasn't included income with respect to a rental property that they may own.
We were talking about new technologies. What about new forms of work? And by that, I mean your TikTokers, your Instagrammers, perhaps people driving Ubers or people investing in crypto, right? What are some things they need to be aware of when it comes to tax time?
Yeah, so for those investing in crypto, they need to be aware that when they trade or sell that, it can have tax consequences. So they need to be keeping good records. This can be as simple as downloading their transactional account every few months, but making sure they definitely download it before they close out the account. If you're making content on social, such as Insta or TikTok, you know, then and you're earning income from that, then you need to work out whether you're in business of being a content creator. If you are, then that has tax obligations and you need to include the income in your tax return. Other side hustles, such as, you know, driving for rideshare, etc., are also income and need to be included in your tax return.
And just finally, overall, and I don't necessarily want to end on a downer, but what kind of penalties exist for not getting your tax done right? And what if you use an accountant? Can you just fob off your liabilities or responsibilities to them?
So there are penalties and it will depend on your situation. So we know that some people, you know, as I said before, are inflating claims. And in those situations, we might choose to apply penalties versus someone where they've just made a genuine mistake. What we'd say is try and get your tax return right the first time and you don't need to worry about it. Now, penalties can be based on either a formula based on the amount of tax that you haven't paid, or they can be based on a per unit amount. But the key thing to emphasize here is it's your tax return, not your accountant's. And so while your accountant can help you to get your tax return right, ultimately you're responsible for making sure you include all your income and you only claim those deductions you're entitled to. So if there is any tax shortfall or any penalty, it's not paid by the accountant, it's paid by you.
That is the ATO Assistant Commissioner, Rob Thompson, there.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
A bit of a rough start to the week for the Australian share market, with the ASX 200 down 0.8% to 7,733. For more, I spoke with Zoran Kresovic, market analyst at 8Cap.
Predominantly driven by all 10 sectors, but in particular, energy sector was actually one of the worst performers, with 1.78% down, followed by healthcare and staples. A couple of different factors or a couple of different things that we can actually take into account here. One, obviously, geopolitical tensions are obviously escalating in the Middle East, which is obviously adding a whole heap of concern around risk on sentiment and investments in general. But another one is the US data on Friday night with, you know, having a look at the price manufacturing index, both in services sector and manufacturing, the numbers have actually come higher than what market was anticipating or what the consensus was. As a result of that, obviously, the global growth is still fairly robust, specifically speaking in the US and across the globe. And obviously, as a result of that, having interest rates higher for longer, that's actually, you know, kind of spilled over to our market this morning. And we've seen the ASX actually come off quite a bit.
Hey, Zoran, there's a lot of retail-related news out today. If we can break some of that up, starting with Myer, with a potential merger with part of the Premier Investments business. Can you go through that? And why do you think this may be happening?
Well, we can actually see that, you know, in general, discretionary sector and consumer sentiment is actually hitting the households at the moment, you know, given the fact that obviously we've got this narrative of, you know, from global banks across the globe of higher for longer. And, you know, Myer's move actually could be considered as probably a smart playbook ahead of what we are likely to see over the next 6 to 12 months. We need to go one step back and take into account that, you know, 6 months ago, market was actually pricing 3 interest rate cuts in Australia. Now we're coming to the point where there is actually zero chance of a single 25 basis point interest rate cut in Australia. Now, if you have a look at the discretionary spending in general, that's actually been declining quite significantly. You know, Myer is actually trying to obviously win business and help the retailers, because retailers have been one of the main sectors that has been actually creeping up in terms of the actual struggle. So by winning the bigger and greater market share in general, that could actually pave the way and help them if looking in the unforeseen future over the next 6 to 12 months. On the back of that, we can actually see that Myer took that, you know, shares have been actually up approximately 40% or 77 cents. And that's actually been quite significant for the date, like, you know, today. So it's actually considered as a fairly bullish and positive news for the stock itself.
So you mentioned the fact that the market's expecting fewer rate cuts now this year, from 3 earlier in the year to now none this year. How is all of this rate talk impacting currency and commodity markets?
It is greatly impacting both the currency and commodity markets. And I think the prime or the perfect example is actually Friday night, with both price manufacturing and services sector bearing the market consensus in the US. And as a result, we've actually seen the US dollar actually appreciate against all the major G10 currency pairs. But not only that, we've actually seen the commodities, in particular gold and silver, absolutely tumble, with that obviously narrative that rates will actually stay higher for longer, and it will take a lot longer for, you know, for the actual economy to, you know, for the inflation to come down within the narrow range band of what Fed and RBA have been talking about, which is actually 2 to 3%. So it is actually impacting, it's impacting the equity market. And also we need to take into account that, you know, US market in general has been actually raising a lot of fiscal stimulus into the economy over the past 12 months. And as a result, we're actually seeing the US debt rise. Now, at some point, we will actually need to service that. So I think it's in best interest of everyone for the interest rates to actually come off. And therefore, the rates are staying higher for longer, with the hope that we will get into the narrow range band of 2 to 3% as soon as possible.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
I see a lot of opportunities on ASX. I know tech sector has been actually the one that's been outperforming. However, we're also looking at defensive sectors such as utilities and health sector, healthcare. In particular, actually CSL is looking quite good at the moment, despite obviously a fall in price today. Another one is actually Transurban. Transurban has appreciated approximately 5.1% for the last 4 weeks. And we can see quite a bit of upside there as well. With the hope that obviously interest rates will come off quite significantly over the next 6 months, we still believe the commodities or commodity sector, in particular gold and silver, and those stocks will actually outperform the market as well. So the cyclicals will come into play as well.
That is Zoran Krasavich there from 8 Cap.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.